All right. Good evening to all you folks on BBS Radio. My name is Gijs Minderhout, calling in from Magalia, California. We welcome you. This is the Monday evening, what shall we say, random topic call organized by Winfrey. And I have not seen the announcement email. The caller volume is currently still fairly low. I hope that it's going to show up here soon. All right.
How many solar panels did you wire today?
You know, I started a project. I'm not installing the panels. I do the inverter and tying it into the grid.
So you're doing the main distribution panels?
Also, yeah, usually, you know, it's in one or more inverters, and then you add a sub-panel, and then sometimes it disconnects if it's a lease, and then you tie it in the meter panel.
Sure. So all the hard work goes to the people up on the roof.
That's right, that's right. I really respect what they're doing, especially when it's hot, you know.
I know.
And then walking under an angle, you know. Oh.
Right.
I respect what they do, yeah.
You get to be in the air conditioning.
Well, you know, lots of time, no. It's usually in the garage or on the outside.
Sure.
I feel better off, yes. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Marilyn. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Fine. How are you, guys?
Doing great. Thank you. All right.
I'm muting myself. I have noise in the background.
All right. Thank you for being here, Marilyn.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. I have not seen the email. You know, I wonder if... Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry. I'm glad to hear of you,
Terry.
Hi. Hello.
Great to have you here, Terry. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. I think it's a man from Arizona.
Yes, Raiden Knight, Arizona, Sedona.
Raiden Knight, how are you?
I'm well, my friend, and you?
Doing fine, thank you. Are you by yourself, or are you with your girlfriend?
Lena Reynolds, Sedona.
Hello, how are you?
Very fine.
All right, I could feel you there. I knew you were there. Raiden sounds so happy lately.
Yeah, he's also getting better, you know. He had a car wreck, and he was in pretty bad shape, but he's getting better really fast.
All right, all right. All right, so Terry.
Yes.
Wynn is going to be here, I assume?
Yes.
All right. Since I believe it's the second, isn't it the second Monday of the month? Good evening. Welcome to the call. Say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome over here. How are you?
Thanks. Good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
All right.
And welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hello, Jeannie. Good evening, and welcome to the call.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you for being here.
All right. Anybody ever seen the DVD movie, the Pyramid Code?
No, have you?
No, I got from ordered from the library today. The woman that did it, Carmen Bolter,
Yeah,
on the coast,
I heard her on
a couple
the radio
days ago.
The other night.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
Let me check out her film.
The Code of the Pyramids?
The Pyramid Code.
Pyramid Code. This is the title. Pyramid Code.
Yeah, Carmen Boulter, B-O-U-L-T-E-R.
Yeah, they were looking for a Nefertiti, I think, weren't they?
It's one of the things they talked about.
Right.
Yeah, she was saying she thought it might be... apparently they found a treasure up in Turkey near the border with Syria. That's what she was saying, anyway. That they thought might be it.
Mm-hmm. All right, in the meantime, I welcome all those folks that we cannot see or hear, which are listening through BBS Radio Online. Thank you very much for being here. Please hang tight. We are waiting for our dear friend, host Winfrey. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, Dawn, she said that woman said she thought the stones from the pyramid were poured.
Oh, yeah, I heard that a long time ago.
Yeah, that's not exactly true, is it?
Well, it could be poured, or some people think if they used... like levitation, they think when you do that, it softens the stone up. The thing about pouring that is good is because you know how the stones fit together so perfectly.
Yeah.
If you pour a liquid up against, if you already have a stone that's made and you mold another liquid one up against it, it automatically fills in, so you get a perfect fit. So that solves that mystery about getting the fit together like that. But if they're done with levitation, I can't think of their process now, but, people say that also softens the stone up, so that would also account for that, possibly.
All right. I heard three people join in. Welcome to the call. If you have a chance, please say a name and location.
It's Wynn.
Hello,
Prudence
Wynn.
From Asheville.
Hi, Wynn.
Who's this from Asheville?
Yes, Prudence. From Asheville, North Carolina.
Prudence, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great.
All right.
Actually,
nice city,
Arden,
Asheville.
North Carolina.
Oh, Asheville's a nice city. Lots of artists on there.
Arden, A-R-D-E-N.
A-R-D-E-N. All right. Yeah. All right. Good to have you here, Wynn.
Hey, Wynn, did you ever see the DVD Pyramid Code? Have you seen that?
No.
Carmen Boulter. She was on Coast to Coast a few days ago. Talking about Egypt. I'm pretty familiar with the stuff that you were saying about, I think.
I don't have time for all this stuff. Okay? You don't believe every week how many people send me things to tell me, you got to look at this. You got to look at that. It's like...
a lot of interesting stuff out there.
No. But I got to look at... Like, when I already know something, I don't need to look at stuff that tells me what I already know. You know what I'm saying? It's like... I'm going to look...
Nobody knows if you know it or not, though.
Well, usually... If I talk about it, I'm pretty sure by that time. And I mean, occasionally something really, really brings in facts that support something. But I mean, I spent years studying all this stuff, Don. You don't know. And I'm still studying stuff. You know, working stuff out. It's just that I get at least 5 or 10 things a week that people think I should look at. And usually I click on it and I say, okay, and then it has to, it has to really grab me. All right, let's get started. All right.
This conference is being recorded.
Move your microphone a little bit away.
Is that better?
Yep.
This is April 11th, 2016, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and everybody everywhere. And anybody on the line now who was not on the line yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, we have to hang up now. No, you don't. How can I make anybody hang up? You know, I had a topic. Topic was spiritual warrior. And it's such a good topic. And I wanted to expand on it. I was thinking about it from yesterday till today. And I came up with some, I think, profound insights to the idea of being a spiritual warrior. Now, anybody, maybe I should talk a little bit before I ask this. God, everybody is so quiet and the mute is off. So, anybody want to say anything about yesterday's talk?
It was good.
It was good?
Yeah.
How many like the idea of being a spiritual warrior?
I do.
Yeah. I do.
How many are scared of it?
Me.
Who's that?
Robert
Ransom?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for being honest. What scares you about it?
All the risks involved, the risk of physical risks, the sense of loss that could happen, I guess.
Me and Terry is getting our head chopped off, right?
Yeah, basically that.
Right? Well, that's happened.
Hurt anybody.
Didn't most of Jesus' disciples get their heads chopped off?
Yep.
Oh, by the way, Hives, are you there? Hello, Hives.
Yes.
You got some fan mail.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You want to hear it? Hi, Wynn. I was so impressed on Sunday when Hives said he loved us. Wow. I had such an emotional rush when he spoke those words. When you must be so grateful that you have such wonderful people around you. Terry Brown, Hives, Marilyn, and Fred. All of them are such outstanding souls. We love all of you, too. And that's from Jane. But I don't know what... Jane, are you on the line? No. Okay. She didn't say where she... Do you know who Jane is, Hives? Hives, are you there?
I'm muted. I need to answer quick another call. I'll be right back.
Never mind.
More fans calling.
Okay. Well, Monday is like our call where we just decompress from Sunday. Really, on Sunday, we are working on ourselves, we're working on the planet, and we know we're doing it. At least some of us know. We know, we can feel the energies move, and it's a pretty unusual experience to know you're doing it.
I'm back.
And it's really hard to explain it to someone who isn't on the call or hasn't become familiar with the energies. You know, one of the things that's happening on these calls is we are learning to put holograms together having new experience. Okay, I'll mute you all. Hang on.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
We're having experiences, interdimensional expansions. All of us, to some extent or another. And suddenly words that might not have made sense a year ago or 2 years ago, suddenly they make sense. You know what they mean. Do you know, it's like it's, you're trying to explain color to someone that's colorblind. It's absolutely impossible until the person sees the colors. If you're trying to explain expansion into other dimensions, it's impossible until you can feel the expansion. And then somebody puts words to it, and you understand it. If you try to explain that band of energy some of you feel on the Sunday call around your head, probably, and all those pictures of past times, when you see people with halos around their head, that's probably what it was referring to. People that were having those energies in the top of their heads activated. And when that happens, somebody that is intuitive, psychic, can actually see light around your head. Can you see light around people's heads, Terry? Terry, are you there?
Particularly if I focus on it, yes. I have to kind of back off and focus. Sometimes it's just there, but then other times I have to take a look and back off and focus.
Mm-hmm. You know, I see it by defocusing. I look through, you know, instead of focusing on the person, I don't focus at all. I defocus. I just look at the person like they're two-dimensional. And when I do that, I can see those energies. It kind of looks...
What I do, too.
It kind of looks like a toaster. But when the heat's coming up from the toaster, something's bad, you know?
Yeah.
I don't usually see colors, but very, very occasionally I see colors. And so some of you can be open to this experience. You know, I remember someone who was a teacher of mine years ago said he never liked to go to watch movies on TV. He always liked to go to the theater because he could see the energy of everybody. And, you know, movies would generate a group consciousness experience that makes the movie more intense and more emotional than if you're just watching on TV, on the video. So there's this idea of being a spiritual warrior. Now, being a spiritual warrior doesn't mean to do what I'm doing. I hope there's more of me out there. But, you know, this, what I'm doing, is more of a sticking my neck out. And I have to be willing to get done in. I don't think so. I don't think so, but it's possible. You know, because it pushes the reality system past what some people are comfortable with, and it challenges them, and it can make them hostile. Now, luckily, I haven't had too much of that. People either just keep coming back or they go away. Or some people maybe this triggers something for them and they don't need it anymore. And they can actually go out and do their own thing, and it gives them the wherewithal to do it. But I have mentioned previous times the idea of timelines. And when time moves faster, it's an indication that you're in another dimension. And many people on these calls have the experience of time moving very fast, particularly in our Sunday call, which 2 hours seems like a long time. And I'll tell you, every day before the call, I'm thinking, how am I going to keep the energy moving for 2 hours? And truly, I don't do it. I do not do it. I just show up, and it's like jumping in and starting to swim and hoping you can stay afloat. And when we first started these, it was really quite scary because it's like, here I am talking off the top of my head, no prepared speeches, and yet I had to engage people. And I said, how am I going to engage them? And I kept getting more comfortable with it, and realizing that I was jumping into the now. And where do the higher realms exist? They exist in the now. Now, if you want to be a spiritual warrior, and I'm using the term spiritual warrior. We could think of other terms, okay? It's just, you know, what's another term? If you want to be masterful, okay, you could say that. If you want to make a contribution, somehow or another, you've got to jump into a place where time moves faster. It's as simple as that. If you can cause time to move faster for yourself and the people around you, then you are being a spiritual warrior, okay? You are manifesting spirit to the people around you. And
so there was an interesting thing in the channeling on Wednesday, and it went so fast that I wasn't able to relate everything that was happening, but they encountered an Indian who was very, very upset and had died horribly and was just really mad about it. And so...
This is somebody... let me say, Terry?
Yeah.
Just to bring everybody up to speed, somebody asked a question about an unusual feeling they were having in their house.
Right.
And they wanted to know if it was possessed or what it was. So
right.
This is what came through Terry when they said that.
Yeah. And there was like three individuals came up. There was two people in the house, which had been a wife and a husband who had died, and they didn't want to admit they were dead and just trying to go on as ghosts, and they couldn't figure out why somebody else was in their house. The cat or dog would see them. And so as the Elohim was working with them, the woman burst out crying, like she realized what was going on, but the husband never got it. He never got it, but she was going to work with him to get through to him that they needed to move on. And then the other...
Now, when you said the woman, you mean his wife?
Yeah.
Or do you mean the woman, his wife?
The, No, here's what. There was three people that were involved in as ghosts. There was a man and his wife in the house. It was an old house. And they had died, and they were still trying to pretend that everything was normal. They weren't doing too good a job. And, so the wife realized she came to the consciousness of the present time and realized what was going on, and she just burst out in tears because she didn't want that reality. But then she realized that she had to move on, but her husband never got it. So she was trying to work with her husband then on that point. And then we left the husband and the wife at that point and focused on an Indian that was involved with sending energy into the situation. And the Indian was just totally mad and had died in a horrible, horrible way. And he was excruciatingly mad and yelling and everything like that and sending bad energy. And so what the Elohim did was take him to a different time period. They got him to focus on when he was a little baby. And he had been resting in his mother's arms, and he felt totally loved and secure. And they just had him focus on that. And, he started to feel better. He started to feel like he did then when he was in his mother's arms. And while he was in that state, the Elohim took him in their energy arms and carried him to the higher realms where he could get more help in that state of being blissed out in his mother's arms. So that was like changing the time period. It's like refocusing and changing the time that he was looking at.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things all of us probably would say, I'd like more love in my life. Okay, how do I get more love? Now, there's all kinds of things you can do to get love or to get a feeling of energy coming back to us. In the Creator God book, the Elohim talks about how we come into this realm to reflect back to each other. And through each other, Jesus said this as well, through each other, we find the higher realms. You're helping me find it. I'm helping you find it. We are learning to see the best in each other. You know, sometimes people don't do that. Sometimes they see the shadow of somebody and they judge it. It's like, as you actually focus on what's best in somebody, you help them move into it. But usually you don't get a reward for it. It takes usually quite some time. And can you be neutral enough with somebody while they're projecting their garbage towards you? Can you get into a neutral space where they can do it and you don't react? Can you even have a demonic energy on the other side that's doing that to you, which happens? And can you get neutral enough not to respond? And then can you, I've seen Terry do this, and I do it. I do it with people. I may be doing it on the other side. I don't know. But I know I do it with people that are physically present, where I can allow them to be who they are and not get pulled into it, and at the same time hold for them. Now, sometimes I just say really terrible things, and they're not really terrible, but things that, how do I describe this? My consciousness picks up the other person, and so suddenly it says something right to their shadow. Not intentionally. I'm not manipulating it. It just comes out. I said, geez, did I really say that? Usually it works really well. It's like I saw somebody, man, you have a beautiful smile. You're cheering everyone up today. And I only say it because it's true. And yet it's really somewhat of an act of courage on my part to say it, because people don't do that normally to strangers. And it's like, how are they going to respond? Maybe they'll get mad at me. Maybe a woman's going to think I'm trying to pick her up. I could think all of those things, but I don't. I just do it. And I'm amazed. Terry watches this all the time. I'm amazed how it shifts the energy. And that's being a spiritual warrior right there, okay? It's like, usually it's a risk, and I could get my head cut off, not literally. Somebody could say, how dare you infringe on my space, okay? some people will say that, but not very few. Most people are so happy when somebody truly acknowledges them. And every time, it's very simple. Every time you can you have to do it spontaneously. You can't think about it. You have to let the words come through so there's no manipulation or there's no trying to be good. And if you allow it to occur, the energy totally shifts. And it's quite amazing. You see, what you're doing is changing the timeline. You're speeding up time. And as soon as you speed up time for someone else, you speed it up for yourself. And the day goes faster. When I used to sell sunglasses, I remember I would go to a booth. And I'm grumpy in the morning. It takes me a couple hours to get going. And you can't be at a booth at a festival and be grumpy, because no one will come up to you. You kind of have to look cheery. And how do you get to look cheery when you're grumpy? And when you're saying, I don't really want to be here. Well, I don't want to get up this early. You know, sometimes you had to get up at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. And sometimes if I didn't get out of it, I could go through the whole day and hardly make any sales, because people are reading the energy. We all read the energy. You'll notice when you go out, and you go out to a restaurant, or you go out anywhere, some places, time is moving faster, and you love to be in that place. In other places, time is moving slower. If you walk into a restaurant where nobody's there and the owner is thinking, God, I'm not making any money today. Oh, my God, how am I going to pay my bills? You can feel that. You can feel the anxiety. And the person is always saying, well, don't you want dessert? How about a drink? And they're trying to make your check higher. And that's an example of, it's so easy to judge their reality for doing that. That's exactly a circumstance, how we judge people and evaluate them. And I learned that if I could transcend the atmosphere of the place, and I could sit there and get into a really good vibration. Despite all of that, the energy in the place would shift. And I'd find some spontaneous thing to say to someone that would help it shift. And very often, and this has to be real. If you ever do this, you'll know you're doing it. You can actually, people will start, when you help shift the energy of some place like that, it actually radiates through the door, through the window, and out into the street. And suddenly, people will say, let me go in there. And before you know it, the place is full of people. And the way that I did this at sunglass shows was in the morning when I was feeling grumpy, I would stand there and somebody would walk by and I would say, hey, could you help me, please? Because I need to look busy. Could you just stand here and try some sunglasses on? And the person would start putting sunglasses on and looking in the mirror. And eventually they'd find one that they liked. And not always, but often. And I would tell them, hey, you're my first sale of the day. I'll give you that for $5. They're going to be $12 all day. But if you really like it, I want to get my juices going. Now, it looked like I was funny. I mean, it all looked like somewhat of a comedy. But the fact of the matter is, I was serious. And I was saying what was true in a funny way, but it shifted the energy. And that as soon as I made that first sale, there was a transaction of energy where someone gave me $5, I shifted the energy of the booth. It was like walking into a restaurant and people start walking in the door. And people would be walking up for the rest of the day and it would be a successful day. And I was amazed that I had the power to do that. And sometimes I had helpers and oftentimes, there was one guy in particular. He would always say, they're not buying. They're not buying. And I would walk by, and I say, get out of the booth. And I'd stand there. Daddy watched this happen, right? Did you watch it happen, Terry?
Yeah, it's like I stood next to the guy for a while, and he would say to him, you know, you have to buy, because if you don't buy, I'm not going to be able to pay my rent. You have to buy this. They just walk away.
So I would stand. For some reason, I love this guy. he's a total nut, okay? He actually sort of he's a mason of all things. Which,
and he plays monsters on Star Trek.
And he was playing monsters in the movies occasionally. And this was in Hollywood. And I would kick him out of the booth. And I'd say, just stand here and watch. And I was very confident. I'm amazed how confident I could be, because I could say this and then I'd look like an idiot. But no sooner did he walk out of the booth... And then I stood there, and suddenly people were walking up, and I was making sales, okay? And he saw me make 3 sales and says, okay, I'm ready to come back. And I said, no, you stand there. And I remember he would watch for 15 minutes, and then I'd say, Rick, come over here. And he'd say, you see where my feet are planted? I'm going to move my right foot and put your right foot there, and I'm going to move my left foot. And then he stood where I was standing, and I slowly backed off, and the whole day would continue really well. But do you realize what a principle this is? How I was teaching myself how I am the cause. If you're looking for a job, do you realize the same principle works? If you're going looking for a job and you're dejected, and you think, I'm never going to get a job, and you put that out, and it's just like standing at a booth and thinking, they're not buying, and looking at the crowd and being really depressed, and it's like, how do you change that energy?
Well, you know, there's something to do with energy vortexes, because a person sends energy from their third eye, and what energy are they sending? Are they sending the energy of they aren't buying, and there's no money, and not going to be paying my rent, and I mean, and then the universe says, all right, you know, that's what the energy is. Okay, well, that's what will happen.
Yep. And, you know, I remember sometime in, I think it was 1999, I was at the end of one of these shows, and I said, what am I doing? And I thought the best thing I could do was play music. And I had stopped playing music for a long time. I got caught in a big rut. And I said, if I have to do this for the rest of my life, I'd rather die now. And I wrote this great poem. And if I knew I was going to talk about this, I would read the poem, because it really was good. It was about looking at all the people walking up to a booth. And they're all different. There were gay eyes, happy eyes, in love eyes, da-da-da-da eyes, all the different kinds of eyes, mobster eyes.
And sad eyes.
Sad eyes. So, you know, I learned not to judge people by doing that. I learned that whoever came up, I was going to love them. Didn't matter where they came from. And then it said, then I said in the poem, it's the eyes of God looking back at me, which it was. And P.S., would you like to buy a pair of sunglasses? It was a really good poem, because it really spun out into this huge cosmic thing. And then it went right back into 3D about, would you like to buy a pair of sunglasses? And when I could do that, when I would hold that space, that it was eyes of God. How many of you can look for a job and say, God's going to hire me today? We want miracles from God. Get me a job. But can you go out and look at your potential employer and see God in him? You know? In which case, if you can do that, you will make him really like you. Because people that are employers, that have companies, it's a really boring thing to be doing that. And if one person in your company is responding to you vibrationally, it changes your whole attitude of the day. Now, Terry, I used to watch Terry. Terry used to tell me the stories. She was working in a legal office. And I think you couldn't find a worse group of people for a saint to be working for. That
was terrible. In a way, you know, I mean, it was a really educational experience.
But she would hold the vibe for the office. The guy who was her immediate boss would have most definitely gotten fired a couple of years previously if Jerry wasn't working for him and covering his ASS, because he would leave all these strings. And it's very not good for an attorney to be leaving strings, is it, Terry? Huh?
What do you mean by strings?
Things undone, things uncompleted, forgetting things.
He would get really sick and there'd be deadlines. Or he wouldn't come to work or something. He had a habit of pulling himself out of it, though. It was kind of amazing. Like, he'd get himself into some kind of a thing where it looked like the case was going down the tube and he was going to lose it, and he didn't do this and that, and all of a sudden he pulls a miracle and wins the whole case and defense verdict. We were defense. I mean, he had this way of pulling himself out of jams.
Mm-hmm. So the picture I'm trying to paint here is being a spiritual warrior doesn't mean getting up and doing what I'm doing. Doesn't mean getting up and doing what someone else is doing. It means standing up against 3D, not making judgments on the people around you, and somehow holding the space for positive to show up. Now, you know, the very interesting thing is that day, I probably wrote about 6 poems, and I said to myself, God, I can really write. I can still write. And some of you have read my poems. You know, if you have one of the things I don't tell people, but if you go to windchannel.intelligent-infinity.com, I think that's it, Wind Channel, you can sign up for a series of mailings called the Wind Channel, which I put together about 7 years ago. And they're still good. And I said, you know, I don't want people to exalt me. There is a tendency, because we're doing this work, and I realize that the work we're doing, I can look at it from outside myself, and I can say it is epic. It's epic to bring the Elohim into this realm in such a close and personal way where there's no holier than thou. And I didn't want to be exalted. And so people were hearing my work. We were doing these calls. And I did the Wind Channel. And I said, I'm just going to put anything I want. It's a daily mailing, probably for 3 or 4 months. I don't remember how many. And I would put my poems on there. I would put jokes on there. I would put songs on there. I would put YouTubes on there. I would put some of the things I was finding. Starting to find how screwed up and how controlled our history is. Now, some of you may not even know that yet, but if you go look for it, you'll see almost everything in our history, the things we take for granted, are so designed to fool us, trick us in some way or another. I mean, one of the biggest things, and if you haven't ever heard this, you can go look it up, but I love the Beatles. And I found out, I guess a few years ago, that the Beatles were a tool of the negative to bring drugs into the world. Why did they want to bring drugs into the world? Well, if you've tracked the New World Order, you know that there was this ongoing, long-term agenda to bring a one-world government in, and that they wanted to break down the family unit. And the family unit made people strong and made them stand up and made them want to protect their family. And there was the intent of breaking down the family unit and making people alienated, not alienated, but, you know, self-involved in themselves and their own growth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, on the surface, it doesn't look bad. And I went through my period of being manipulated by all this stuff. That the hippies, the drugs, LSD, consciousness expansion, and later I find out that was all a trick to break down the family unit. Even women's lip was part of that trick. Because that doesn't mean that there weren't valid points in women's lip. But suddenly, women found it politically incorrect to be supportive of men. They wanted their own sense of power. And so, in doing so, probably it contributed to some degree, a lot of unhappiness for people. Because men were not getting fulfilled, and women were not being nurturing. And of course, not all women, not all men, we're talking about generalities. But this was all a design of the negative to bring the system down, okay? And now if you look what current music is promoting, it's promoting lustful, indiscriminate sex. Miley Cyrus. How many of you know that Walt Disney was one of the biggest arms of the negative on the planet? And you can go look at this on YouTube, and you will find that in almost all of Disney's cartoons, all the beautiful ones, The Lion King, everything. I can't remember them all. They all have huge hidden sexual imagery. And if you look at some of the biggest pop stars today, the decadent ones, you can look at Miley Cyrus, you can look at Britney Spears, you can look at, who else? You can find all this on the internet, by the way. There's no doubt about this when you look. Who?
Madonna?
Well, yeah, but Madonna was not from the Disney factory. Britney Spears was, and Britney Spears, Justin Bieber, I believe,
Christina Aguilar.
And, I mean, look at the brilliance of this plan to bring young women up with these beautiful, angelic women. And they watch these women become decadent, perverted stars, okay? And this is no random thing. It didn't happen because the women were directing it. They were being directed, and there was an intent. And if you look for it, you'll be convinced. Because it's all on the internet. Just look up Walt Disney sex on YouTube. And they'll show the images. They'll show you a preacher marrying somebody. You can see his hard one. Okay, you'll see another cartoon with a flash of a naked woman with her breasts in a window. You'll see a beautiful castle in some cartoon. And one of the spires looks like a penis. And Walt Disney was a high degree Mason, 33 degree. He had, you know, if there's any Masons here, I'm sorry, but at the lower levels, Masons do great work. And at the higher levels, it's very corrupt. but they keep that very hidden from their members. And it's a huge manipulation to take over our planet. And it's been going on for years. And you can't confront it. It's too powerful. There's too much money. You can talk about it. I mean, I used to think if Alex Jones talked about it enough, maybe it would change. But it doesn't. Maybe it's changing. I don't know. Maybe they're getting weaker. There are more people becoming aware. And I say these things because I want you people to become aware. Because this is part of belief systems that we have been brought up in. And it's like we didn't get to this place we're in today by serendipity. It's been a grand design. And you can find absolute evidence if you look for it on the internet. If anyone looks up the Beatles, you'll find that, remember, when they said Paul was dead, everybody remembers Paul was dead, you know, and that there were album things, and but Paul wasn't dead because he kept being there, except the guy who was Paul was not Paul. And people have gone through long analysis of looking at pictures of Paul in 1966 and Paul after that. And they were different heights. They had different size feet. Their ears looked different. All kinds of things different. So I don't know if Paul was dead. I don't have the evidence of that. Or if he just had a replacement. And but there's some serious chicanery going on. And part of the plan of the Beatles was to take a very charismatic young group and make them pop stars and then bring in drug lyrics and convert the whole world into taking LSD and drugs, which I include myself as one of the converts when I was in Berkeley when I was younger. So they manipulate this realm at a very high level. Now, what does this have to do with being a spiritual warrior? Well, I guess just the fact that I'm talking about it qualifies me to be a spiritual warrior. You know, for some people, if you study these things, just the evidence is incontrovertible. I think that's the word, incontrovertible. I mean, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. You can look at the Disney movies. Show it to people. And because for most average people, Disney is the epitome of purity. I mean, if you recall, I remember reading about Disneyland. They didn't let people in with mustaches. There was a dress code. It was family-oriented. It was the epitome of family. Things, there's so many things like that. And I put them in the, some of them, I don't remember what I put in, but I put some of them in the Wind Channel. And go check it out, windchannel.intelligent-infinity.com. I'm not sure all the links still work, but most of them work. And it's just another way to keep a truth coming in your direction. And I say truth because, as far as I'm concerned, by the time I say it and put it out, I don't have much doubt what I'm saying is true. But you have to prove it to yourself if it's the first time you're hearing this kind of stuff. And get the idea that I think people are getting the idea that you cannot depend on the old structures anymore. They're totally fake. The news is totally fake. Go look up Sandy Hook conspiracy. Go look up 911 if you haven't done it. It's not a conspiracy theory. There is so much evidence, but you have to do your own research. Because when you realize how we have been led around, it makes you look with a much sharper eye with the things that come out now. A lot of people won't look. If you just bring up any of these ideas, they're going to be kicking and screaming. But get the evidence and look at the videos. You look at an old, some of these things on YouTube, people will put together all the sexual imagery in the old Disney movies. Lift them up and then show them to somebody. And just doing that helps break down a person's belief systems. And they start being more open to you. And you show somebody a few of those things, and before you know it, you say, they're looking at you as an authority. Now you can say, how about the Elohim? You got to hear this guy's calls. And they may not think you're such a nutcase, all right? But it's up to you to spend the time. Never before has so much information been available. All you got to do is the search. 911 conspiracy, Sandy Hook conspiracy. Almost every one of these public events, Boston, there's one YouTube video that looks at the Boston bombing at the marathon, and it takes apart that it was a staged event. And that, now, here's the mind blower. I may be wrong here, but they have a picture of Steven Spielberg directing the event in the background. Look up Boston bombing Steven Spielberg, and you'll see Steven Spielberg. Looks like Steven Spielberg. Looks like the spinning image. And he's waving his hands and pointing, like, you do this and you do that. And now, that one, I could say, could it be some other explanation? Maybe it could. But with everything else, I would tend to believe it probably was Spielberg. And that they're what's called crisis actors. And it is 6:58.